I'm Brett Chang.
And I am Jay Rosenthal. This is your Peak Daily for Thursday, April 25th, 2024, where we cover the biggest stories in Canadian and global business, finance, and tech, all in less than 7 minutes.
Okay, so Jay, starting this summer, 10 sections of major Ontario highways, including over half of the 401, will have a speed limit of 110 kilometers an hour. The changes will make a commute from Toronto to Montreal 14 minutes faster. That is, if you're not already speeding. Now, when it comes to, again, legally being a speed demon, BC is still top in the nation. It's the only province that boasts a 120 kilometer max speed limit along the, this is like saying Mississauga for somebody who doesn't live here, Coquihalla Highway. Jay, what do you think about the speed limit increases?
I think it's good. I know people, they're cautiously, they're very cautious about increasing the speed limit. It's still slower than many highways, even in like upstate New York. Yeah, I mean, 14
not
minutes.
Not to out myself on this, but you know, people on the 401, if it's not busy, they're on 120. Like 120 is the average, right? And so
they certainly are.
Which is actually, you know, again, yeah, I'm not here to enforce the law, and I hope nobody enforces it upon me with this commentary. But you know, if you do one, if it makes it 110 and you go 120, you're going 10 over. That's also acceptable too. So really, they're like pushing
like 130.
To 130 makes it inappropriate,
yeah.
Which I'm actually very comfortable with that being. I think that's actually a good speed.
The way I'm on the 401, generally, I'd be happy going 30.
Oh, yeah, that's
I'm usually going closer to 30 than a 130, so it doesn't really affect me that much. Certainly the long drives. East, it will, because that ride is terrible and can take a long, it's going to take a lot longer. Yes, it might take 14 minutes faster if you can actually go the speed limit, but I have yet to be on a ride from Toronto to Montreal that didn't take an hour just to get outside of the city limits here.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. In fact, you and I were once on a bus on the 401, and it took 2 hours to get out of Toronto.
The 401 was bad, but what I remember most from that trip, Jane, was Montreal. The roads, like, it's one of those things where it's like you're so close, but it just takes forever to get there.
Yeah.
That was a terrible decision. Jay, let's move on. I don't want to think about it.
I have a flashback to that ride. Aside from that, terrible drive on the 401. What do we have for Peak Pals today?
For our first story, Indigenous investing is on the rise. For our second story, pop brands join the drink industry's health kick, and our big picture.
For our first story today, Brett, just like a space probe hurtling through deep space, Indigenous investing is only going up. What's going on with this trend?
Okay, so the First Nations Bank of Canada, the largest Indigenous-owned bank in the country, announced a plan to raise as much as $50 million this year to reach more customers, expand its capital by as much as 50%, and double its loan book to $600 million.
Yeah, the move comes a week after the federal government announced an Indigenous loan guarantee program in the budget that will start off with $5 billion in funding.
And it matters because Indigenous communities are an emerging financial force. The increased recognition of land treaties and the Indigenous right to self-determination means major energy, infrastructure, and resource projects can't happen without their participation.
Major projects communities have stakes in include the Coastal GasLink pipeline in BC, the Waasigan transmission line in Ontario, and Enbridge oil pipelines in Alberta.
But while the investment opportunities are limitless, actually investing can be difficult for Indigenous communities. By law, Indigenous assets are considered properties of the Crown and held in trust, creating a conundrum of raising capital without any collateral.
Yeah, here's the bottom line. The First Nations Major Projects Coalition, a nonprofit, estimates there will be $525 billion in investment opportunities for Indigenous equity over the next 10 years.
For our second story, the way things are trending, a nice fizzy drink could soon replace your morning vitamins.
Here's what's driving the news. Legacy pop brands like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Sprite are dropping new low-cal, bold-flavored drinks in an effort to keep up with newer brands that are catering their fizzy beverages to younger and more health-conscious consumers.
This week, Sprite unveiled Chili and its zero-sugar version, Chili Zero, a cherry-lime-flavored take on the classic soft drink featuring new cooling sensation technology.
I think it might be chill. I don't know if it's chill or
chill,
chili.
Not chili. Yeah, you're right.
Chill sounds like a better drink to drink. Last month, Coca-Cola also launched a spiced drink line, including a zero sugar product, marking the brand's first new permanent flavor in decades. Not decades, but years.
It's happening because more young consumers are asking, what can your fizzy drink do for me? In Canada, low-calorie, non-alcoholic beverages have surpassed full-calorie drinks like pop and accounted for 58% of the entire beverage market last summer.
The change has prompted newer brands like Olipop, Poppy, and others to lean into healthier drinks wackier flavors, and photogenic Gen Z-oriented cans.
And it matters because the shift towards health-centric drinks is part of a growing consumer trend of functional food and drinks. Products that don't just cut back on sugar and calories, but promise things like improved gut health, reduced stress, and even better sleep.
The boom in demand for these types of products has grown the functional food and drink market in Canada, which is now expected to reach $19.2 billion by 2026.
Food companies like Nestle and Unilever have recently faced pressure to move away from their unhealthy products, and with consumers' wallets driving the change, it's hard to see that trend reversing course.
And now for our big picture. Alberta and BC banned fires. With extremely dry conditions and a series of ongoing wildfires, BC and Alberta issued bans and restrictions for outdoor fires, with some regions facing evacuation orders. Experts say that with the ongoing drought in Western Canada, it's doubtful there will be enough rain to quell what's expected to be a bad start to wildfire season.
Boeing safety woes hurt earnings. The aircraft manufacturer posted its first quarterly revenue decline in 7 quarters, reporting a $353 million loss, down 8% from last year. The tough quarter stemmed from the company scaling back production of its 737 MAX plane after the January door panel blowout revealed serious quality control issues.
Binance faces Ontario class action suit. An Ontario court certified a class action suit against the world's biggest crypto platform that alleges Binance sold crypto products to retail investors without being registered to sell securities. Binance left Canada last year after the federal government tightened regulations on crypto trading.
Peak Pals, thanks for making us the most listened to business news podcast in Canada.
If you got a second, why not follow this podcast on your app of choice and leave us a review.
And if you want more Peak, make sure to subscribe to our daily newsletter at readthepeak.com.
Have a great Thursday, Peak Pals. Shockwave.